This afternoon, we will finally start on the Lord's Day and the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 1. This afternoon will be question and answer 1. I know Pastor Martin's preached on this not that long ago, but it is on the order of being taught at Catechism this week, and likely not a Lord's Day that is burdensome to study again a beautiful confession. In connection with that, also a focus this afternoon is in Psalm 23, especially the imagery there of the Lord as our shepherd and how it beautifully will tie in with Lord's Day 1, that we may consider and meditate on what it means to say that the Lord is our shepherd this afternoon. Let's listen to Psalm 23. A psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, he leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So far, the reading of Scripture before the reading of our text. Let's sing the alternate version of Psalm 23. We'll sing stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Let's now turn to Scripture as it is summarized and confessed in the Heidelberg Catechism. Lord's Day 1, question and answer 1 sets out that theme of comfort that is reflected throughout the Heidelberg Catechism and is meant to comfort us, draw our attention to what really is our only comfort. So it asks, what is your only comfort in life and death? That I am not my own, but belong with body and soul, both in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood and has set me free from all the power of the devil. He also preserves me in such a way that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Indeed, all things must work together for my salvation. Therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life and makes me heartily willing and ready from now on to live for him. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, all these passages that we've read this afternoon, both Psalm 23 and Lord's Day 1, question and answer 1, are beautiful passages, often used as passages that are able to grant comfort to those who are suffering, that those who may be dying, those who are grieving. Both beautiful confessions. I know we read this afternoon, and it doesn't really matter what circumstances we are, what kind of headspace we are. They likely speak to us on any given day with warmth and beauty. But what makes both of them so powerful is that as we read them and see the context what they're in, we know that this is not some fluffy comfort, but reality is right there. The threats and dangers in life are there. It's there in that picture of a shepherd in the wilderness, in dark valleys, in dry, wild, and harsh hillsides. It's there in the very first question of the catechism. What is my only comfort in life and in death? Both passages present an important truth in the face of difficulty and the reality of life and death. And both can say, I have comforts. Why that is, what that comfort looks like, is what we'll look at this afternoon, by considering especially that first image in Psalm 23. The theme, the start of this Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want, which pairs so well with the comfort found in Lord's Day 1. Now, Psalm 23 is beautifully arranged. Some of it's lost in our translation, but in the Hebrew, the very first word of the psalm is the Lord, Yahweh, his name. The very last word of the psalm is Yahweh. And it makes it very clear how from beginning to end, where is the focus, where are we directed to look to? It is to the Lord. And even in the middle, but we'll get to that. Both ends, beginning and end, they both draw our attention and from ourselves, from our circumstances, and saying, the Lord. Consider the Lord. Consider the one who is greater than us, who is over us, who is with us, and who is for us. And for David, very clearly, right from the beginning, this is the Lord who made heavens and earth, the Lord who made his promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who spoke to Moses from the burning bush, who said, I am who I am, and who set his people free. David would have known the story of Israel, the story of God's promises, how he set them free, the mighty hand, incredible power and care. They've known that this is the Lord who is of everlasting. He is forever. The present one, the almighty one, the provider, the savior, the name of the Lord, he says, draws us to that, the mighty acts, an incredible power. Just as we may say it with the catechism, I belong to Jesus Christ. It is no less magnificent to be able to say that, is it? I belong to Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus if not the risen Lord? The one who came, who conquered death and sin and the grave, the victorious King. Who even during his life, in all of his humility, yet is able to calm the raging and stormy seas, who casts out demons just by his voice, who with the power of his word rises the dead, who's now seated at the right hand of God, who's been given the name that is above every name. There is no more glorious title or name or position in all of heaven or all of earth. Except that, Jesus Christ, he is the one who is unstoppable, invincible, whose kingdom shall have no end. And you say, I belong to him. In Psalm 23, this God, this Lord, is the one of whom David says, he is my shepherd. So personal, isn't it? The Lord who's done all of these magnificent things, he is my shepherd. You consider all that Jesus Christ has done, and then to say, I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Just like that, from the greatness and the majesty of the Lord and of Jesus Christ, we are back to us, to me. We may ask, who are we in comparison to the Lord? Who are we in comparison to Jesus Christ? Yet this God is not ashamed to call us, to be called our God. This Lord Jesus is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. In fact, the covenant that God made with his people, and the covenant we have in Jesus Christ, encourages us to say, the Lord is my shepherd. Jesus is my Lord. I belong to him. I stress these two this afternoon. So do we gain a sense of where this comfort is coming from and how we actually attain it? Because there's two things that are key in that, isn't there? You may be sitting here this afternoon and you may have vast, wondrous, magnificent thoughts about God, about the Lord, about Jesus Christ. So you've been taught how great he is, how majestic, how far above all of creation he is God. But you struggle to say he is my God. You struggle to say he is my Lord. You struggle to say with David, he is my shepherd. Because how could such a great God, such a magnificent Lord, know about me, care about me, and be mine to claim? And then it's hard to find comfort. Sure, the Lord is in control. Sure, the Lord is still God, but he's distant, so far above. It'll be hard to find that warmth and the comfort of knowing him. Some of you may be on the opposite side. You may say, look, I believe in Jesus. He is my Lord, my Savior. Very strong on that. He's mine. But sometimes forgetting those great thoughts about him. You may think of him as, yes, my friend, my companion, mine who's always there, but never thinking of the one who is greater than you, never thinking of the one who holds all things in his hand, never thinking of the one who may have plans that are different from you, the one who is going to challenge you, who doesn't take his cues from you, the one who is the shepherd over the sheep, the one who is the savior of sinners. You see, I need both. Find that comfort, that God would be great, and also that he would be mine. It's what makes it so beautiful how David starts, "The Lord is my shepherd." David's relationship with the Lord is cast in this language of a sheep to a shepherd. A sheep just needs protection, needs guidance, needs to be brought through wild countryside to good pastures and drinkable streams. Sheep rely on their shepherd. And David has found his shepherd in the Lord. And in the rest of the psalm, the Lord's work as shepherds takes over. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Just in those verses, consider all that the shepherd does for David. The Lord provides for him. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. It's this idyllic, this beautiful picture of animals that are well fed, you know, that are safe. So safe even, they lie down. There's no reason to bolt at any second. Just a picture of peace. The picture becomes even more calming. The translation isn't that. The waters are quiet, but waters of resting places. Which may also translate it as. It is a picture of care and well-being for the sheep. So David says, that's what the Lord does for my soul. Restores me. The Lord provides, he also guides. He leads as a shepherd. He guides the sheep. Sheep would not know where to go or what is the right path and need direction from the shepherd. He says, look, the Lord leads me down paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Find the right way, to know the way through the dangers and threats, to get to the green pastures, that is the shepherd's job. And the Lord is with David and keeps him safe. At the center of the psalm has, again, that sense of the Lord being there. His name at the beginning, his name at the end. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Here at the center, David says, Lord, you are with me. And not just in any place, but even as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, there you are with me. Though I walk through danger, through threats, yes, even death, you are with me. And from here, the psalm will go on. And there's wonderful language on the hosting that the Lord will do. As he makes us dwell in his house forever and blesses us. This beautiful picture from resting to traveling to feasting, in all of it, the Lord is my shepherd. Aren't these the truths that we find in Lord's Day 1? When we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is my Savior, that he is the one who is with me, who is keeping me safe, who has saved me from sin by paying for it all, who now renews me, yes, who even keeps me so safe that he knows the hairs on my head and will turn all things for my good. Thoughts that obviously are too wonderful for me, but when we consider that this is the Lord who's doing it all, the Lord Jesus, to whom we belong, it takes shape for us, doesn't it? You read the psalm and think about the life that Jesus lived for us. What he said, but also how he lived it out. When huge, huge crowds, Jewish believers, came looking for Jesus a number of times, how does Jesus respond? He's filled with compassion, for here are sheep without a shepherd. And he teaches them and he instructs them. And when they have no food, what does he do? He says, well, go sit together on this green hillside, and I will provide for you. Drawn in compassion to his people, providing for them. Would he not be drawn to you in compassion today, knowing your needs and ready to provide? Or what about the way that he guides his sheep? Does Jesus say, I am the way, the truth, and the life? I am the way to the Father. No one but me can show you the way. No one but me can open the way back to the Father. He opens the way. He shows us the way. He brings us into the house of his Father, returning us as prodigals found in a foreign land by our older brother, found to be brought back home. For what about his protection? When Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, what does he say? My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Listen to that. No one can snatch them out of my hand. His sheep will never perish. Ultimate protection. He did so for his disciples. He said, ultimately, I will do so by laying down my life, that you may be redeemed, that all of us Satan's accusations may be stopped, that no one will be able to hold anything against you, that nothing may separate you from the love of God in Jesus Christ. Set free from your sin forever, forevermore, his guarded and protected sheep, never to perish. You belong to such a shepherd. Jesus Christ is not just the good shepherd. He is your shepherd. He leads you, restores you, guides you, and protects you. And all he is with you. Now hopefully as we sketch this picture, you notice why David can also say this about himself. He's looking to the Lord and his greatness, his provision, his guiding, his protection. And then he says the following about himself. First, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. I don't think we would often say it that way. I will not be in want. But it simply means to lack or lack no good thing. It's a double negative. Meant to be emphatic. I lack no good thing. But basically, it's just positively saying, look, I have all that I need. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. That's comfort, isn't it? Like incredible, powerful kind of comforts. The Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. It's a striking example of having an only comfort. There's one thing that I need, one thing that I need to know, one Lord, and one shepherd. That's it. Or as the Lord, they would say, I belong to Jesus Christ. It's all that I need. I have all that I need. In all circumstances of life, in every stage of life, in any trial and any challenge and any blessing, I have what I need because the Lord is my shepherd, because Jesus Christ is my Savior, my Lord. I hope that resonates with you this afternoon. To be able to say, I have all that I need. I shall not be in want. And to know, yes, as I see that written, as I hear that confessed, it is true. And yet, I don't always live like that. That is our comfort. That is what we may draw on. That is what we may remind ourselves and others. And when that is our comfort, then rejoice. Believe and have hope. Whose comfort is for you. And if you struggle to get there, notice what David does. It's not where he starts. Starts by confessing, the Lord is my shepherd. We need to hear that again and again. That's not the only thing that David says about himself. He goes on to say, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Two things, I walk and I will fear no evil. How does comfort make us walk? Well, one author used this illustration, or used it to draw this out. He's like, look, we don't walk through things or places that are terrifying. I can imagine there's some kids here. You're walking through your home at night, and if it's completely dark out, you know, I just need to cross the hallway. I just need to cross the dark living room. You're not going to walk calmly. You're going to run as quickly as you can. Say, like, let's get this over with and get to where I need to go. You pick up the pace. It's fight or flight mode. Adrenaline kicks in. And we have it. We're in a place. Unknown. It's dark. It's unfamiliar city. Past midnight. Everything seems more sketchy. We are not walking calmly. We are aware. We are picking up the pace. And we are moving. To walk through it, that means you feel safe. How can we feel safe in the dark valleys? Well, what if we see that we're not alone? There's someone great, someone powerful is with us whom we can trust. Someone greater than the darkness, yes, someone even greater than death. You see where David's confidence comes from. I fear no evil, for you are with me. Am I not alone here? I don't have to just run through this. I could take a breath. No, I'm not alone. The good shepherd is with you. Take heart. Keep on walking, yes, even through the valley of the shadow of death. And finally, he says, you will not fear. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. They comfort me. You know, we know that David was no weakling. He was a warrior. He'd also been a shepherd. A shepherd who says, look, I'm not afraid of lions. I'm not afraid of bears. They come for my sheep. I beat them. Took that to Goliath even as a youth. This also meant that he knew how a shepherd would have been ready and armed to face the dangers that may be coming their way. And for that, shepherd would have a rod as weapon. Don't think of a walking stick. Think about almost more of a club. You know, 2.5 feet long or so. If you went out of your way, it wouldn't just be a piece of wood, but you know, you could make even iron, pieces of iron, spikes at the end, much like a mace. Shepherds needed to be men of war too. it's dangerous out there. When David struck a lion or bear, he'd likely have been carrying a rod. And he says, Lord, I look to you. That's your rod that keeps me safe. I know that you're ready to protect me. You're ready to defend your sheep. None of them will be snatched from the good shepherd. But David also sees a staff. And this is probably more of what we first of all envision as like a walking staff, but could very well fit here as a shepherd's crook, a little bit bent at the end. Less of a weapon, it was more a tool to direct sheep, correct them, pull them in. I mean, personally, I've worked with animals long enough and enough to know that it is hard to catch them when you need to, because they always run away. Try to do that in the wild when there's no pen, no corner. God needs something. Check on them to draw them in, keep them from straying. David looks and sees not just the rod, but the staff. He's comforted by both. So can we. Perhaps you need one more than the other this afternoon, but we all need the comfort of both. Lord Jesus will guard us and keep us safe. He's one ready to face the enemy. But he's also there to keep us close to him. Keep us from wandering, to keep us from spiritual illness, to keep us from turning around and getting lost. Don't only need to be protected and provided for, but also his correction and discipline. And that's why David is able to say, I'm comforted by both. This is a good shepherd. One ready to face the outer external threats, one ready to face the threats, the dangers that may come from inside. Isn't that also what we find in Lord's Day 1? After all that the Lord Jesus Christ does for us, after all that the Father promises us, what then do we receive? Well, the promise of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Holy Spirit who will convict you of sin in order to heal you. The Holy Spirit who will renew you that you may willingly and readily serve the Lord. God will bring the victory, not by might, not by power, but by his Spirit. He provides the protection and the discipline we need. You see, when Psalm 23 and Lord's Day 1 speak about comfort, they both are not afraid to test the comfort that we have in the Lord in the face of the realities of life, in the face of the valley of the shadow of death. What confession is able to give us comfort? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. And I'm not my own, but I belong with body and soul, both in life and death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Then also sing these words of our confession hymn 64, stanzas 1 and 2.